Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker. You can find me on the Game Brain podcast. I did a review this week. They call me the opinionated gamer over there, and that fits, because I'm very opinionated about many things, including the Shaws of Sunset, which we're talking about today. And joining me, as usual, is the one and only Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
What's up, Ben?
I have a question. Since our last episode, have you been able to meet Baby Shams?
All I can think about is Baby Shams.
It's like the death sentence, not getting to meet Baby Shams.
Oh, Baby Shams. And you know what? Are we going to get a resolution to that today in the Shaw season finale? Guys,
are we?
I don't know, but I'm going to write a very convincing letter that says, "Dear Tommy, I regret the past, but please know that you keeping Baby Shams from me is like killing me with a baby rattle.
You have murdered me with a baby named
I will literally kill Adam if it means that I can meet Baby Shams.
Oh, Lord. Okay, here we are at the season finale of Shaws of Sunset. What an exciting night it was.
Yeah, very exciting. They dressed up as animals. They fished under a road. They fished under a road. They had dinner. They had breakfast.
They sure did. They said a lot of pop psychology things over and over that nobody really knew what they meant, but they just kept saying them at the end of every single scene to prove that they've learned something.
They almost caused a forest fire.
They sure did.
Yeah, they really did. They did everything. They did it all.
They really did. I mean, this episode went everywhere. And spoiler alert, everybody's still hateful and horrible, which, thank God, because, you know, last year did get a little dark for me, but I still need my Shaws to be my Shaws, okay? I don't need the Gigi Llama over there, you know, pretending that she's, like, the spiritual center of everything. I don't need the whole, like, why are we fighting when we should be loving? No, what show are you on, okay? This isn't Friends. This is the Shaws of Sunset.
Yeah,
We get clips from the reunion, and, you know, Gigi's back to being a monster, so I'm glad that didn't take.
Yeah, here's a note for next season. I know that a big thing on Shaws of Sunset is that they love to pull the whole, we may fight, but at the end of the day, we are family. I know they love, like, bringing it back to a family place, but, you know, it was like 3.5 episodes of like family time in the Redwoods. We really don't need that. We get it. We understand their family. Let them just, like, fight and be petty in L.A. or something. This whole Redwoods trip did not really do it for me. And it was sort of a bummer because I think the season was actually excellent. And, I mean, they were entertaining, these episodes, but I felt like I would have liked to have left on a more exciting note than this trip.
Yeah, you know, I mean, these people are as much of a family as you are at Applebee's, you know, when you're working at, like, a restaurant, and they're like, hey guys, you know what? Today we are all going to clean these fans perfectly. You know why? Because we're a family. We're a family of apples on a tree. Okay. Families work together. No, we're not. We're fucking people at Applebee's who don't even like each other. Okay. I'm never going to see these people again. And that's how this show is, because we know that they stopped shooting and nobody speaks to each other anymore, except for the occasional voicemail from Nima going, bro, I totally love vaginas. Yeah. We know that everyone's not running around together. So, you know, I don't need the let's hug and pretend that Gigi's a spiritual center of anything. We cut the shit.
Yeah, I agree. So the episode opens up with everyone piling into a bus because they're going to go on some sort of adventure for today. And Nima is like, hey, bus driver, I just want to let you know a little bit about our brand. I want to have like a little bit of a download session with you. So our whole brand is that we have some motion sickness people here. So if you can go as slow as possible, that really will keep our goals aligned with not vomiting, which is actually not our brand whatsoever. Bro, dude, bro. Love vagina.
Are you sure you want a slow bus ride with London?
No.
Really?
No.
Does anybody think that that's a good idea?
Babe. And then Gigi gets on board. And this is funny because Gigi, first of all, she seems stoned out of her head. And she's like, Smokey the Bear says only you can prevent forest fires. And she like points at the driver when she says you. Which is funny because later she plans an activity where they have to light little things on fire and then like cast them away. And one literally goes flying off. First of all, it almost lights Destiny on fire, but like it could have gone one more foot and that entire forest is in flames.
Well, listen, to grow new, fresh destinies, sometimes you have to burn the old destinies. Okay. Sorry.
She's like a mancala. Oh, except that's more like you cast away in a river. You get it. Mm. Or mandala, not mancala. Mancala is the game. Mandala is the thing you cast away. And I'm Mandelker. So look, we're learning so much.
So they get on the bus and they just keep doing this to convince us that this is a great episode. Woo! Woo! Okay, we're going to turn here.
Woo! We're turning! We're turning!
Okay, guys, we got to the river.
Woo! Yes!
Guess what, guys? We're going to go fly fishing.
Oh, fly fishing? Mm-hmm. That's what got Mike in trouble in the first place. Ah, get it?
And Gigi announces that tonight she has another special dinner. It's cannabis infused because weed is her personality, basically. Yes. Marijuana is this girl's personality. So she tells us what cannabis dinner is. I don't care. So then everybody gets there and they woo. And then there's some ducks. And yeah. There's some...
And there are two fly fishermen. One guy is just like the supporting fly fisherman. He's like the apprentice. And he just looks bored out of his mind. And then the other guy who's leading the fly fishing symposium just looks so annoyed with this entire cast the entire time. He is just like biting his tongue, waiting just to storm off the set. He cannot deal with these people.
Yeah, so MJ is in a crazy outfit as usual. And Rez was like, if we were going to the Beverly Center in the 90s, that is what she would have worn.
You know what's the best part about the Beverly Center? On the outside, they have a huge billboard for Bebe, which reminds me of Bebe Shams.
It's actually true. There is a big billboard for Bebe out there at all times, it feels like.
Yes. So
just want to make sure people listening knew that there was some geographical authenticity in that joke. Thank you so much.
Like, well, glad there was really a billboard because he's gone too far.
I mean, at a certain point, like, you can make jokes, but not lies.
So the guy who's the main fishing guy is like, okay, guys, here's my question to all of you. Who's fished before? And someone raises their hand. He's like, well, forget all about that because that means nothing. This is fly fishing. This is not conventional fishing. Okay, fishing man.
Like, relax. It's spoof fishing. Spoof fishing. It's not real fishing.
What? The fish came right up to me. I didn't even do anything. Okay.
Listen, my problem is that I'm addicted to attention from a fish. Okay, that's what I said. I said, Paulina, I can't help it. The fish came up to me.
So this is so Nima. He's like, oh, okay, fishing guy, where's the nearest restroom? Because I have to pee. And the guy points, and it looks like he's just pointing to the woods. And Nima's like, oh, we have to pee in the woods? That is so manly. I'm a real country guy. Yeah, I like vaginas. Look at me. I'm going to go pee over there and think about vaginas. Okay, guys, be right back. Peeing in the woods. And then they show Nima peeing, and he's peeing right next to the bathroom. Like, he didn't even recognize a public restroom as a restroom.
Nothing makes me feel more like a country guy than whipping it out to pee.
next to a perfectly civilized, normal indoor facility. So then they're fishing, and they will not be taking home any fish, London asks, because it's going to be catch and release, which is also how Mike found Paulina. And so they, Gigi's saying how catch and release is a metaphor because they're going to release all their emotions and, you know, bullshit. It's all the same bullshit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I hope that they understand the metaphor because, you know, they catch something, but then they need to let it flow down the river because they caught feelings, but then the feelings, I don't know, just stabs a tree, just stabs a fish in the head.
But of course, none of them catch any sort of fish, which is its own metaphor of them just like not even being able to receive any emotional terrible. Input in their lives.
Yeah. And Destiny just does her whole, oh, but I'm a girl, which is like her thing. So she's like, oh my God, are the fish going to nibble at me? Oh my God, I can't be nibbled.
Hello, I'm a girl fish.
The fish are like, I don't know what's happening, but I hear annoying sounds. So then Reza's like, y'all Persians look real crazy in the water, and I look good, but the rest of y'all look out of place. Bitch be like, why are the Persians in the water? Don't stop, fish it, fish it.
Persians in the water be like, so Persian. You guys are like so white, girl. So and Nima's like, when do the fish bite? How's that going to work? The rest is like, when you get your hook on the motherfucker.
It's like, remember when I did stand up at the improv and I was like, Persians be like fishing like motherfucker and fish be like motherfucker. What's up with this like fishing rod? And a bitch be like, motherfucker, it's a fishing rod. Like fishing like I'm going to catch and release you. Which part of release do you not understand? So get caught, bitch.
And Destiny's like, oh my God, everyone's so peaceful. Like, I don't even want to cause a problem right now, but I have so many things I'm holding on to.
So then MJ gets like a FaceTime, or maybe she FaceTimes Tommy. So she's on the phone with Tommy. And then Reza, of course, turns this into a Reza thing. He's seeing MJ on the phone with her son, like, so many moments I've missed out on. Like, it never gets easier. Like, I could be FaceTiming with baby Shams right now, but I'm not. I'm FaceTiming with baby Trout.
He's just standing there in the water watching sadly with his pole. All pathetic.
Pining after that sweet, sweet baby Shams imagery.
Yeah, so funny. So then Shervin's like, wow, Reza likes sushi. Maybe we can get some of this and like Reza can eat it. That would be hilarious.
Hey, Rez, I know you like sushi, but this is taking it too far, Reza. Ha 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 ha.
Well, this is certainly not Nobu. I'm such a man. So then Destiny and MJ are talking, and Destiny's like, wow, it's like so nice that we're together. And MJ says it's the best trip, and Destiny thinks that things happen for a reason, so that now people can like value other people's space in this world.
Meanwhile, God is like, I have literally never sent a flash flood down a mountain, and the people just stand in the middle of it and don't get swept away. What is happening?
Yeah, and Destiny's saying that she's really hesitant to trust Mercedes again. What are you hesitant? You're the one who started everything last year, ma'am, okay? Yeah. And blamed Reza and MJ for it. You're still the one who brought that shit on camera. And look at you still being a victim. Has not changed.
Meanwhile, Nima is trying to forge connection with this pissed off fly fisherman. He's like, I think that we're going to have to change out of the waders because it's getting a bit cold. And, you know, we're from LA. We're used to pedicures, my man. You know what I'm saying? I understand what's in your head and I'm communicating with you right now. Did I tell you I'm a director and I want to be bi-coastal? All right, my man.
And Destiny thinks she caught something, but it's a branch. So Reza's like, let's do the math. We're 9 Persians and we caught be like 0 fish.
What's the math? 9 is a different number than 0. Like, let's do the math. So now they head back to the cabin and Nima gets into some, he says it's a Burning Man style outfit. I thought it was just like just a outfit from a different culture, personally. So I forget what it's called, but...
Who, Nima? Nima. He said it's a shaman outfit.
Oh, I thought it was... I just am blanking on it, and so I don't want to like just spew out some word that I'm like can't remember, right? And then I say it wrong, and then I'm somehow like offensive to the culture. But I'm just like, but still,
Nima
like,
is probably more offensive to the culture right now than you could be.
I just think it's funny. He's like, it's like, oh yeah, it's like a costume, and it's like, I think that's something that people wear every day in a different country.
So Gigi gives everybody gifts, and she's like, guys, you have to wear these, and you have to trust the process.
What is the process exactly?
Spiritual Gigi.
You know, when you put on a mouse thing over your nose, trust the process. Trust the process. It'll heal you.
Yeah. So she wanted to add a personal and sentimental touch. So she researched their spirit animals, but it's only what she thinks their spirit animals are, not like, not their actual spirit animals. So then Nima's like, whoa, I got a horse face, bro.
Yeah. And then Reza's like, there's a motherfucking moth in here. Ah! That's how you know what your spirit animal is. Whatever comes and tries to attack you in the middle of the night, that's your spirit animal. Because it's projecting its rage towards you. It's like, I hate Reza.
So clearly Gigi still hates Reza and MJ because she makes MJ a crow, but I think it's a black swan, you know? Like, yeah. I think she thinks MJ is jealous or something. And then she makes Reza a hyena.
Yeah, it's yeah, and Layla is a rabbit. Mike is a bat. And then Nima and Shervin are a horse and a cougar, and London is a deer. And so Reza comes out. So Reza puts on all this makeup, but he doesn't actually put on his mask, and he literally looked like a blue meanie from the Yellow Submarine, like almost identical. I was gonna post a photo of it, but I forgot. And Destiny is a hummingbird also.
Oh, is that what she is?
She was a hummingbird.
Well, how come she gets to have the glitter wings or whatever? She has like lit wings. They're like lit with Christmas lights.
Well, I don't know if we're going for scientific accuracy with this crew here, you know? And of course, Gigi gave herself the bear. Like everyone else got animals that were, for the most part, are kind of like have some sort of connotation that's not great, but then she makes herself the bear, like the powerful, you know, the powerful yeah. thing that people also find adorable.
Yeah. I like that she made herself a bear and her sister a rabbit. That's just cold.
it really is.
And then Reza's cracking up. He's like, how is she a butterfly? And I'm like Beelzebub.
It's true. So they all sit down, they have their cannabis dinner, and then Gigi gives them pieces of paper written on like faux parchment to read out loud about their animal. And MJ's is like, the crow can teach you to live in each moment to the fullest. Likewise, the crow can't help but be outspoken and mischievous. The crow is terrible. No one should trust the crow. The crow has been trying to get Gigi all these years. Something doesn't seem right here.
I'm not sure if I'm ready to forgive the crow. I need a moment. And then, so MJ's like, yeah, obviously she's trying to get back at me, right? So then Shervin is like, the cougar is leadership, empathy, and fearless. Whoa, thanks, Cheech.
The hyena symbolizes the trickster. His approach is to teach through ways that are not straightforward. He may use subterfuge or trickery to reach his goal and teach his message. Now raise your hand if you know what the word subterfuge means.
I know this cast is all looking around for the sandwich. So,
spoof sandwich.
Mine's like, whoa. Mike goes, yeah, well, that was great, actually. That's like perfect for you because that's great because you're a hyena. Because he's notorious for being a lying, sneaky dog. And Destiny's like,
whatever I am, butterflies are like quick to respond to demands. And like, they maybe have emotional instability, but it's only because they're trying to run so many businesses and be a boss ass bitch cool ass.
I feel like hummingbirds or butterflies, whatever they were. I wrote down hummingbird, but it could have been butterfly because, again, I was in a very intense food coma last night. But whatever that animal is, I feel like deserves an apology. You know, like this poor animal. Oh, they represent joy, but they're emotionally unstable. I'm sure there's like a hummingbird that's like, hello, I'm actually very stable. I have a very high like view of myself and high self-esteem because I'm like adorable and beautiful and people want me around. So excuse me, I'm not unstable.
And also, I don't think that that's even a description. Like, I doubt that that's the description of a hummingbird. It's got emotional instability. Like, you just added that shit in there.
Yeah, she really, like, clearly she, like, added her own lines. Yeah.
She's like, she's emotionally unstable and I hate her outfits.
Wait a minute. What Wikipedia was this?
I'm Nima and I'm the horse. The horse is seen as an animal with physical strength and vitality, determined, loyal, can achieve anything, fearful, fragile, avoidant, has fake teeth, can't get it in Hawaii. Wow, this is me to a T. That's exactly like a horse and exactly like me. Give me a hug. Give me a hug.
Loves vagina. Great one. I'm a horse. It's official.
Here comes one right now.
So Destiny's like, guys, I have to excuse myself. So she leaves for a second, and I thought something big was going to happen. Same. Like Destiny was going to, you know, like what's her buns, Paulina was going to call again or something. But it didn't. She just went to put her nipples inside.
Yeah.
So then London's like, okay, well, the deer, that symbolizes gentleness, babe. And antlers, babe, defend babes. Because gentle deer does mean dofulness, defenseless, babe, babe. Okay. Jesus, this is deep, babe.
Yeah, babe. Wow. And then did you read something about the bear that I didn't even bother to write down because I was still upset that she gave herself like the cool animal. And then
oh, the bear is both feared and admired for its strength.
Yes, that's exactly.
Yes. Can't wait to that's see. That's what everybody's thinking right now.
Yeah. GG 2024. So Mike is like, I'm the bat, also known as a spoof bird. Okay. They're highly sociable. Have a strong family bond, and while he may take you on a journey that may seem outlandish, he will remain faithful. And Rez is like,
that's hilarious. Which was pretty fucking hilarious. Yeah. Why would you put he will remain faithful on Mike's card?
Why, Gigi? So Mike's like, this is so fucking crazy. Okay, this is the same song and dance. You're hurting me again? You're my brother. If you're a hyena, you act like a hyena does. You bite through the bone, okay? Speaking of which, I do have a bone that needs to be tended to, so, Paulina?
Instead of biting through my bone, why don't you just tell me that you're going to bite through my bone over direct message so I can come all over your pretend digital face?
And he goes, I feel like I'm being bullied by you, okay? It's like, okay, Mike, settle down.
Why are you the biggest victim on planet Earth? He's like, oh, I'm the victim? I guess I'm the only one in this group who's not perfect.
And Destiny goes, we're not perfect. I mean, even me, a hummingbird, I'm emotionally unstable, okay? But it's how we deal with shit. You guys want to keep bullshitting? Why don't we talk about what's really going on, okay? Paulina's not here for a reason.
Are you freaking nuts?
Babe, it's like, it's tiring. Like, you're trying to pretend everything is perfect and it's not.
It's like, oh, okay. Hold on. Wait for a huge admission. Here it comes. Sorry, I took it too much to heart. Okay, back to human. Listen, sending those text messages started a problem. Okay, I see that. She's like, it's not just those text messages, okay? That's a lie. He's like, okay, then I'm completely done. I'm not going to play this game. I thought I turned off Paulina's cricket.
And he's like, it's been fun. It's been real fun, okay? Good night.
What is going on, you guys?
So Mike goes, storms back into the house, and MJ follows him. And he's like, this is it. And Destiny just is like, her mouth is just like, like, she just keeps on, like, dropping her jaw at everything at that point.
So then MJ and Mike are talking inside, and he's like, I can't argue with people who are telling me I'm lying. Like, it was supposed to be a fun time, you know? What are you trying to do? It's like, well, you were, like, throwing stones at Reza first with the whole, oh, yeah, that's perfect. You're a hyena. Oh, yeah, that's perfect, bro. So then MJ's like, well, in the process of trying to protect your intentions, like, you're trying to, like, say your intentions are good, but, like, you're also, like, protecting facts. And he's like, blink, blink. He's like, I don't know what you mean. She's like, okay, your intentions are that you never want to hurt Paulina, but then the reality is that you shattered and broke her heart. He's like, yes. And then he starts looking around the room at the exit sign, because apparently production's like, the season's over. So just say something, please. So he's like, yes.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? This camera? I broke her heart.
You know what? Any communication she doesn't like, okay? But I thrive off that attention. I seek it. Well, I mean, which is a problem, okay? So, like, to me, it's just like, it seems fun. But Paulina apparently doesn't like it when I message a girl and say, I love your rack, send me nudes, let's meet up tomorrow. You know? To me, I just like the attention.
Yeah. You know, I'm just saying swallow my imaginary load. But Paulina doesn't like that. You know, she has a problem. So then outside, London and Shervin are talking. And well, everybody's talking. And London's like, well, so Mike is obviously driving Paulina to a point. And Shervin's like, oh, my God. You know what? He's lit a match. But is it a raging? Well, sorry. I was
I like that.
He's lit a match. But like, is it a raging forest fire or is it just like a birthday candle? And Layla says, you don't get to start a fire and then decide how much it burns. That's the bunny in me, bitch. That's the bunny in me.
Hop, hop, motherfucker. So MJ says, you know, it's like being in AA and having to fight a temptation that's always around you. And Mike's like, I have to fight this. Otherwise, I'll lose Paulina for the rest of my life, you know? And, you know, right now we're taking a break and giving each other space. And since we're on a break, I guess that means I can now text some women, okay? So,
yeah. We're on a break, which is why I have a remote-controlled little bunny up my butthole that somebody in Shanghai is currently buzzing. It's buzzing. It's buzzing. It's buzzing right now.
And she's like, so you guys broke up? No, there's no breaking up in me and Paulina's relationship. We don't think that way. It's like, okay. Yes, we just need a break from each other. It's not a break up. It's a break from, okay? And that's it. Yeah.
And then MJ is like, oh my God, this is all we want from Mike. Honesty. He admitted he needs attention. I mean, if he could feel really safe around us, then he could explore these honest thoughts with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except the moment he shares an honest thought, they all just destroy him, right?
So now Metzli, the spiritual guide, arrives and she says, pass around a magical paper and put what you want to release over the fire and then you'll see what happens. So I thought it was going to be paper that had some sort of chemical treatment to it. So that way when it lights on fire, it sparkles or there. I thought there was
right, like a little rainbow comes out or something.
Yeah. I thought there would actually be a physical, like a visual thing that'd be like, ooh, ah, you know, like a chemistry experiment or a chemistry kit or whatever, but it's just paper. It's just regular paper. So Gigi writes down resentment, anger, and fear as she wants. That's what she wants to release. Even though, by the way, she has released resentment, anger, and fear, like, literally every season she does a releasing ceremony of some sort. And she's released it so many times. Like, girl, at some point you have to realize it's with you. it's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Embrace it. Next trip needs to just be embrace it.
Yeah, embrace
it. So then she throws up her paper and it flies on the air and then back onto her.
Onto destiny.
Oh, who is this Metzli and how do I get this job of just like showing up and getting money to hand people a piece of paper and telling them to write something on it?
Truly the biggest graft are people who do spiritual advising things for Bravo TV, right? They just like find someone like, do you know spiritualism? Sure, I can say I do.
Yeah. So Destiny's like, oh my God, I'm going to burn the hell out of this to get through this hardcore level. I mean, like stop people from like coming in because I have this like exterior that's like so badass and it's like that's why people don't want to come in.
No
Be less annoying, okay? Why can't people just be honest with themselves and be like, I want to be less annoying so people stop running away?
Yeah. For some reason it just takes me back to when they all went and saw grunions swarming on Venice Beach. Like, just I don't know why, but like when Destiny just gets emotional, I just think of fish writhing about in Venice. I don't know. Do you remember that when they went and saw those grunions?
Yes, when Gigi was taking everybody to see grunions so she would get pregnant.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, but then Destiny confronted her about something and then it turned into a big fight.
Yes, I just think of like when Destiny talks about wanting to burn away a lair and everything. I'm just like, listen, if the grunions didn't fix you, this is not worth it.
Like if you want to burn away a lair, start with that pearl necklace top.
So then London's like, okay, babes, all right, I got a couple things, so just hold on.
I would like to invite fearlessness and eternal positivity, babe. And I would like to release, babe, expectations, babe, of perfection, babe, from people around me. But one thing I don't want to, babe, burn is tablecloths, because we all know the sexiest thing you can do is sit at a tablecloth and have someone touch the top of your knee under the tablecloth and just say, babe, what do you want for lunch, babe?
London is one of those people who insists on taking everybody's time to say something, but she has like nothing to say at all, ever.
Yeah.
Like, was any of what she said even real? She's like, you know, expectations, positivity, spirit, you know, self hugs, self care, the end. Thanks. Wow. Well done. Learned a lot, London. Thanks.
Layla wants to get rid of fear and anxiety. By the way, no one, global pandemic, no one thought like, I'd like to get rid of coronavirus. Could someone like throw a bone at the rest of the world? Please, come on now. And MJ wants to do away with pain and replace it with family and friends. And Mike says, I want to let go of the idea that everything is perfect. Ah, Paulina in the fire.
And Gigi, who's the most peaceful, is like falling asleep because she's so bored with her own game. She can't even feign interest in other people, even when she sets them up to talk about themselves. She's like, oh my God, you're exhausting.
So then Reza decides to change the rules. You're supposed to be burning what you want the most. But instead he says, I only wrote down things I want to attract in my life. And I feel guilty because I wrote down Baby Shams' name on this. But nevertheless, Baby Shams, sorry to burn you alive, Baby Shams.
Nemos was funny too, because he's like, guys, I'm a grudge holder. You are not a grudge holder. All you do on this show is walking around asking people to please start talking to you again.
Yeah, it's true.
So I want to get rid of weirdness between me and Golnessa. And also, here's a bunch of blank paper because Reza forgot to write down what he actually wants to release. So I'm just going to throw them in here, and that'll just be the stuff we didn't think about yet, like coronavirus.
I'm just gonna burn all these so London doesn't have a chance to get them and write some more shit down.
I'm just going to burn these so we never have to do this exercise again. Great, thanks.
So they're packing in the morning. I thought this was the end. Okay, so this episode, it ends 30 times. So everybody's just had like the end of their storyline, and then it keeps going. Yeah. So now it's the morning, and Reza's hugging a tree.
I don't know what Baby Shams look like, so I have to assume he's this redwood tree. Are you my Baby Shams?
Shervin's cooking because he's like the best friend everybody needs to invite everywhere. He's cooking, he's driving, he's cleaning. I love everything. This guy.
He's like the only,
and he's rich.
Yeah, and he's like he's mostly built, you know. And so they're making like, well, you know, look, Shervin's cute, and you know, a few seasons ago he was like really jacked, but you know, that happened to all of us during the pandemic, you know. So but he's making like a steak. And they're all just like having a big breakfast and everything. And just like people are like cleaning up and they're talking about Mike. So MJ and Reza are talking about, MJ is telling Reza about the conversation that she had with Mike privately. And he's like, he looked defeated and deflated. It was hilarious.
Yeah, like he was lying. That's why. Because he said that he and Paulina are on a break. And I said, you're broken up. And he goes, a break. So then he tells us, not only does it not bring me pleasure to see bumps on the road with Mike, but this is what I predicted. He forgot he was trying to be positive in that sense.
Yeah, he's like, you know, so, the one thing I predicted with Mike, I predicted two things with Mike, bumps on the road and bumps on the duel. Sorry.
Can you forgive cheating, or can you forgive a man really disrespecting you? But can you forgive both things?
Okay, settle down, Carrie Bradshaw. Okay.
I know. Yeah, he's sitting with this little Mac from the 90s.
Can you forgive a man, or does the man forgive you for disrespecting you and not meeting Baby Shams?
So she's like, yeah, you know, I don't think so. Like, your love and romance cannot recover, but she's emotionally tapping out a little day by day by day. So they finish packing and go downstairs to have some breakfast, and Shervin's cooking, and basically they're just cooking and making it. And Reza comes down.
By the way, Shervin has done everything, right? Everything. So Reza comes down at the last minute and carries like a tray of croissants outside. And then everyone's like, wow, Reza, what an amazing spread. Reza, the presentation is off the hook, bro man, ham ham.
And then Reza, of course, says this thing.
Food is a really big part of our culture.
as opposed to those cultures that just don't really enjoy food. So,
he's like, this is the last supper and this is like the last taste in our mouths before we leave on this trip.
So they go eat and Mike's like, look, I just want to say, well, first Reza, yeah, he does the grateful. I'm grateful for everyone. I've changed so much. And Mike's like, yeah, well, also, I'm appreciative too, because you allowed me to have a breakthrough. I've had a breakthrough. And they're all just looking at him like, mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay.
He's like, MJ's like, well, I want everyone to leave this weekend saying that they took their friendships to the higher level. And he goes, well, let me start by apologizing, okay? Because last night, I couldn't even articulate a sentence, okay? And I thought, if I don't share, I don't get hurt. Look at me. I am vulnerable. I am just a scared little boy, afraid of being hurt by, perhaps, a hyena. That's all I am. Sweet, sweet little boy who likes to DM sluts. On Instagram.
Did you hear that? Mike was vulnerable. And they're like, yeah, because he feels judged. And Mike's like, yes, you know, I was trying to keep up. So I went into my shell like a turtle. And I thought they can't hurt me because I have a shell, which is hard, like my dick inside the shell. And then my dick started knocking on the shell. And then people kept coming and saying, Mike, are you knocking? Do you want me to come in? And I would say, no, stop it. It's my dick. But I need to stop fooling myself and knocking on my own shell. Because after you splooge on a shell, it just drips on your face. And that's not fun for everybody. I've grown.
Have you ever seen a bat in a turtle shell? It is scary. So he's like, my biggest fear is that me and Paulina won't work out our issues. And I'll be alone without Paulina. And so I am very afraid. And MJ says, well, what can you do? And what are you doing to save that? And Reza goes,
Mares, when we were in the room, you looked at me and said, they're on a break.
I'm like, of course, Reza is going to just like announce that to the table.
Yes, Reza, he's changed so much immediately. Tries to throw MJ under the bus, right? So then Mike's like, no, you know, I just have to say, while we're here. And Destiny has to sit right in between Mike and MJ while he's doing this whole speech. And she's just like looking up at the sky chewing. And he's like, listen, social media has been a problem. And that's why I took a break from it. And they're like, bloop, Mike, like your post. Like, wait a second. No. I'm sorry, my dick did that. My dick did that.
That was a spoof text. No, social media has been a big problem, which is why I took a break from my main account and started a fake one. And now it's much better. No more problems.
Mike should head.
Mike should have head. So, so Nima says, Mike likes the same thing I like, which is attention. Not your scene, but okay. See, that's the biggest problem. You know, I allow the attention that I'm seeking to get the best of me and act on it because I have attention addiction, you know? And
why don't you just invite some friends over when your boyfriend is gone and jerk off over a game made out of wooden blocks?
I've tried that. Doesn't work. I don't understand Jenga. You may remember from last season, I don't understand the rules.
Well, here's the thing. I get off thinking, wow, I'm still hot. I can still pull off some ass. And Gigi's like, first of all, I love that this is different than literally anybody else in the world, right? Like, yes. Kind of everybody loves attention. And everybody, I mean, it's kind of a typical thing. I guess it's good that he's basically admitting that Gigi was right the whole time, right?
Right.
And he's insisting he's not a sex addict. He's just an attention addict, which is very different. And it's an illness. And Nima's like, me too. You know, like you have no control over the drug. You know, my therapist said it's an addiction.
Yeah. All the people who are just crawling into Nima's DMs. So yeah, Gigi says, well, Mike, if you care about her, let her go. You're aware of your issue. And in the meantime, stop hurting another human being and her children. You got to break. You got to break it. You got to fix it. Like there are two kids and another human involved. She's basically like, this is all fine, but like you can't drag other people through it. Right. And Reza says,
do you think you pushed it past the point of no return?
No, because she's fucking Paulina. No. And he's like, no, before we left, I had a conversation. And she says, oh, you're at it again. But you know what? It was just talking. But I shouldn't have responded because she told me she didn't like that. So, yeah, still not his fault. It's still Paulina's fault for being crazy. Yeah, right?
She didn't like it. She didn't like it. So they're like,
right.
So Mike is like, I take it too far and I have to do something. Like, maybe I have to go to a facility. He's like, yes, maybe a facility. Maybe, I don't know. Like, I hear there's a place called Cheetahs. Or scores. I should probably just go there and really work out my issues.
I need to be locked in a room. A room with hard walls and a door that I can close and then just put quarters into a machine. And then as the machine turns on, TV starts to play. And then there's, oh my God. Okay, I came. What were we talking about?
The place I need to go. I need to go someplace where I could be one with nature. I can be... someplace like amongst the rhinoceros. But I also want to smell good, so I'll have some spearmint. So it's sort of like I'll go to a place with spearmint rhinos, you know? That's where I need to go.
And Lenny goes, well, you know, there is a sex and love facility. He goes, no. It's attention addiction. It's none of that. It's none of what you think. It's a therapist lady, only therapist, kind of therapist here. It's attention addiction. And Layla's like, but can you even be monogamous? And he's like, oh, I promise you this much. You'll see a different mic from here on out.
From the day forward.
Liar! Liar!
How lucky that they get to be there for day one of new mic.
Yeah.
New mic has started right now. Jeez. So then everyone's like applauding him and everyone's like so impressed and saying thank you. And MJ is like, I'm hearing him screaming. I don't know what. I have a typo here. I can't even read my notes. But she basically says.
She says, I want to say that I'm impressed and thank you because here's what happened. I've been drowning and you just gave me oxygen.
Yeah.
What?
She's like, I'm so not going to cry, but I've never felt more connected and blessed and grateful for my badass crew than right now. Like, we fuck up, but we rebound when we gather around and like we pick up a wounded soldier. Okay. We gather around the wounded soldier and we pick ourselves up. I'm like, no, you gather around the wounded soldier.
You wound the soldier. You wound the soldier.
And then you bury him alive. And then he's like, I'm actually not that wounded. So then you wound him some more. And they're like, well, he's not dead yet. Let's make sure this grave is really, really good.
And then you guys ask the soldier to apologize to you. And I'm not talking about Mike specifically. I'm talking about just the way this show rolls.
Yeah.
So then Reza starts on with his, I'm only as good as I am because of you all. And I only have a negative hyena wisdom because I'm old ass. My old ass is down the hyena road further, bitch.
You know what? I love you guys. And thank you, Mike. I love you. Okay? All right. Now it's time to leave. And I want to... Hey, by the way, Gigi, did that ghost fuck you or not?
So then... we get shots of them packing because again, it seems like it just ended.
That's a great season.
But it, it did not end. It just keeps going. So Nima's telling Shervin as they pack, he goes, bro, dude, I don't leave anywhere, bro, without three things: a steamer, butt wipes, and poopery.
The poopery corporation is like, thank you. We're going to close now. So Reza is writing a letter and he's like, hey, Maris, so I wrote a card to Tommy and I'm afraid to ask your opinion because if it's like not the thing I should be saying, then like I'm like way off the mark and I just want to meet baby Shams. Here is my letter.
And his deep, meaningful letter is written on hotel stationery, basically. It's like the little cards they leave in your room. The other side probably says, like, change sheets or don't change sheets, you know?
Yeah.
So he's like, keep Tommy, I regret everything. Keeping your son from me now is a death sentence. I need you now like you need me then. And single day, kiss me once, and then you kiss me right.
Like, I was like, isn't this a lyric or something? And I didn't have time to look it up.
If you go, don't look back. Please don't leave. Don't you want me, baby Shams? Don't you want me? Oh.
baby, baby, Shams, say it on love go. When I say baby Shams' name, it's like a little prayer. I'm down on my knees. I want to take you there. And there is specifically the place where baby Shams is at. Happy birthday, Madonna.
So he's basically says, I wish we could go back in time. I would have done things differently, but
I'm not convinced we have to live in purgatory forever.
And so MJ and Ressa both cry all over each other. And then Gigi's and also, like, well.
Don't forget, too, okay. That when he said, I wish we could go back in time, the show was happy to do a quick flashback of, you had 10 abortions, abortions, abortions. They're just always going to throw that right in there.
Yeah. So then Gigi is like, wow, I did everything I came to do on this trip. We're kumbaya now. So now we get more ending speeches where Gigi's like, thankfully, I'm the kumbaya peacemaker in the group, and I've done what I came here to do. And I just wrote, oh, God, fucking end already. Just end it.
I know. End it. And we get the usual things like,
family fights can be ugly at times, and these people are not just my friends. They're my family. One, two, three, four. Hello.
By the way, I had
hello.
I had a dream. Lily Golichi was in my dream last night. So Shaz has like gotten into my subconscious. I just remembered it right now. You know when you like say something and you remember your dream? Literally, Lily Golichi was in my dream. So like, it is time for this show to wrap up because I cannot have it lurking in my dream space.
Yeah. So then we get the Reza speech. We are all a work in progress. We all want better and try for better, but better doesn't always come out. Sometimes you open the better and you say, I can't believe it's not better.
For example, look, here are me and Adam looking at plants from 2 months ago because Adam's beard was shaggy then. Remember?
And then we see Gigi and Elijah in their, like in the house.
We're all just working on our goals.
And then we see Nima. He's like on a plane and goes, well, this is what the bi-coastal life looks like. LA to New York, New York to LA, new brand. Bro, vagina.
Tiny little dog that I put under my seat. God, I love vaginas. And so Rez is like, here we are working on our insecurities. And then it goes to Destiny, which I thought was really funny. It's like, look at me with my lover. Look at Nemo with his new career. Look at Destiny calling her mother.
Hi, Mom. I'm working on the aloe collection. I'm really happy. Oh, yeah. I'm so proud of you, my little unstable hummingbird.
None of us is perfect, but if you stand in truth, your friends will love you anyway.
None of this is true, right? Yeah. So then we see Mike walking down the street, and Mike gets his ending. He's like, this is not how I expected my life to turn out. I didn't expect to be divorced and then meet someone with children who I'm good enough to take care of like they were my own, except for the times I'm fucking strangers in my apartment in Hollywood. But I think the universe wants me to be here, mostly because I got into an Uber and it brought me here. And I said, thanks, universe. But, you know, I want what I have with my family. You know, a bunch of people who sit around and look at me like I'm an idiot and don't trust me to build things.
Now let me knock on this door. Oh, it's Paulina, and she's looking at me, and I'm going inside, and who knows what will happen. And so ends my spoof ending for the show, because the show keeps going.
So now we
God, and Paulina. So he opens the door and Paulina's just giving him her duck face. And then She just nods and lets him in. You are such a doormat.
So then we go to MJ's house and Tommy's kissing Shams to bed. And so then Tommy and MJ are sitting outside and MJ is hoping that the letter is going to just start the healing process for him. Just like, and that he won't really be able to start healing until, you know, like there's resolution between him and Reza. So MJ is like, I'm going to give you something that I would like you to be open to reading. It's in a book. And this is from, you're tearing it up already. Okay, great. Thanks.
Yeah, he just rips it up. He's like, it's not going to be something he tells me if this is over. He had ample time to do and say the right thing, all right? I don't need that now. I'm good. I'm good. And she's like, wow,
There was a moment in time where we needed Reza and he wasn't there, but I'd like to think that in the future, that will just be a blip. You know, I'd like to think that our 30 years together was more important than just that blip.
Yeah. And she says, do you think that reading this means that you have to forgive him?
You know what? The idea of that this nonsense letter makes me mad. Like, this is like, I'll get to a time where I can be in the same room with him, okay? But don't ever think for a second, it's because suddenly seeing the light, I thought, oh, probably you just had a bad day. You know what I mean? Please, please.
And that's pretty much that. She cries at the end and she's like, the happiest I know that I'll ever see Reza. Even more than him weighing 160 head to toe and Fendi is holding my baby. Shams! Okay, he's at the back fence screaming Shams now.
No.
But I have to realize it may never happen.
Whenever you drive over a bridge, I just want you to hear the words, Baby Shams! Baby Shams!
Oh, Lord.
Lord.
So then Reza was on Watch What Happens Live and everything goes to shit, basically, in the reunion. It sounds like he hates MJ again, or at least he sounded like he did. He has a problem with everybody, and I think Andy wanted him dead. Because he kept going, come on, Andy, you know the answer to that, because you were at the reunion! And Andy's like,
I'm not asking you about the reunion, I'm asking you a very specific question.
He's like, but you were there, Andy, and you know everybody tried to make it like I wasn't doing anything, but you know I'm the best friend that there is, Andy.
Andy does not like that. If you don't answer the question, or you, especially if you try to kind of like cash in like this thing, like, oh, Andy, like we have this special relationship. I don't think Andy likes that on TV.
Yeah, he was over it. So that brings us to the end of Shars of Sharn Shark. We will be back next week, though, with the reunion, which is always when this show gets really good.
Yeah, although I thought it's been really good all along. I mean, at the very least, it's been super fun to recap this season. And again, if you didn't see it, once Shaw's is off the schedule on Sundays, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is taking over. That's pretty big. The fact that they're putting Salt Lake City on Sunday is like Sunday is their big night. So that's a real vote of confidence. I mean, of course, because Salt Lake City has gotten so much press. I mean, there was even an article in the New Yorker about it. So I think Salt Lake City is poised to be, you know, their like a marquee franchise for them. So that's going to be coming out on Sundays. And the trailer was just dropped this past Friday. So our bonus episode this week, which we'll be recording shortly, is going to be our usual frame by frame breakdown of the Salt Lake City trailer, which looks pretty gosh darn amazing. Like absolutely amazing. So go keep an eye out on Patreon for when that bonus drops. And that'll be Crappens on Demand also. So that's something you can watch as well.
Okay, everybody, thanks for being here. We sure love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will. Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.